Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
A lot of kids who greatly appreciate that. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning, and as we look at your word, we ask that you would speak very clearly to us. We ask that you would encourage our hearts. We ask that you would challenge us. God, we ask that you would be evident, you would be clearly seen in your word today, and that you would just move upon us as your people. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. We started a series. We're talking about prayer, and we're talking about becoming a people of prayer. And last week, we emphasized more on individual prayer, but we sort of did an overview of prayer. And if you missed that, you can go back and check us out on the website or Facebook or on iTunes, and you can give that a listen. But we talked about some of the basic principles of prayer, and over the next few weeks, what we're looking at as a people of prayer, corporately, as we pray, what happens? Because I recognize that so often when we talk about prayer, we talk about prayer as the individual, as an individualized type of activity. And all throughout the Bible, you find individuals praying prayers. Jesus many times prayed alone. You find many of the prophets, they're praying alone. You find apostles sometimes praying alone. But you find all throughout the Bible, people coming together to pray. And that's one of the most neglected things that we do, is coming together as a people to pray. Because sometimes we think, well, I can do that by myself. I can do that all alone. I don't need to be in with a group of people. And I hear that sometimes with referencing prayer. I hear that referencing worship. I remember a dear old gentleman that I knew growing up, he would always say, I can worship God just as well in my cow pasture by myself on my tractor than I can in a room full of people. Well, that's just not true, because the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so if there are no lone wolf Christians in Christianity, it just doesn't work that way, because we are part of a body. And that's a whole different sermon for a different time. But prayer also is one of those things. Not just worship, but also prayer. There is great power in praying together. And today I want us to look at three verses in Acts chapter 4. But before we get there, let me give you the backstory on it, because I'm picking up toward the middle or toward the end of this prayer in Acts chapter 4. We're not looking at the entirety of the prayer. But if you go back in Acts chapter 3, what you find is Peter and John heal a man who had not been able to walk. He's over 40 years of age, and he is miraculously healed. And when he is healed, it gets the attention of everybody, because this person has been unable to walk for a long time. And now that he is healed, and so they use that as an opportunity to tell everyone how this man was healed, and that is by the power of Jesus. And so Peter takes that opportunity, and he preaches there in Jerusalem about the power of Jesus and about who Jesus is. Well, some of the religious leaders don't like that. And so they take them into custody, and they start questioning them. And then you find in Acts chapter 4, they reach a point that they don't know what to charge them with, because they recognize this was a miracle. Clearly, it's something that is supernatural that has happened. And though they broke no law, they don't like it, but they don't have anything that they can charge them or punish them with. And so they warned them, don't preach Jesus anymore, and then they turned them loose. And you find that Peter and John go back to their friends, and they assemble with them, and they tell them what had happened. And then they all come together, and they pray this prayer. And they give God thanks for being the sovereign Lord God over all the universe and over all creation. And as they work through the prayer, you find this request that's recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They say this, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Notice how many times you and yours is mentioned in there whenever they're speaking to God. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, this was one run-in that the apostles had with religious authorities of the time. But you look through and you find there's all sorts of persecution that takes place against the people who are following Christ. Today, that is no oddity as well. Except in America. America seems to be, and I'm glad for it, but America seems to be a strange aberration in the history of Christendom. Because right now, we have a degree of freedom in our country that A, the vast majority of people who have claimed the name of Christ have not known for long periods of time throughout history, and B, the vast majority of Christians don't know that around the world. A recent study that has been released just in the last week or so, and you probably won't hear this on major mainstream news outlets, 80% of those who are persecuted for religious beliefs in the world are Christian. 80%. That's the estimate. 80% of those who are persecuted for their religious beliefs are Christian. More than Muslims, more than Muslims, more than Buddhists, more than any other religion, Christianity is more persecuted. Now, I had a conversation with someone just yesterday, and the conversation went like this. Out of the blue, do you ever think persecution is going to come to America for Christians? It's the first time I'd ever heard that person ask me that question. And I said, yeah, I do believe eventually the day will come. If you just read the writing on the wall. Now, I see two options. Now, I'm not trying to be a prophet. I'm not saying the Lord has spoken to me and given me a word. But I see two options. Option A is God operates a revival and the hand of judgment is stayed for a period of time. Or Jesus comes back before that happens. So those are the only two options I see. Otherwise, I do believe it's coming. It probably is coming if you just look at the way things are going. So today what I want us to look at is if that eventuality occurs, how do we respond to it in prayer? And secondly, let's remember our brothers and sisters around the world who right now on this Lord's Day are not able to gather together as we are freely and openly because of fear of persecution, imprisonment, torture, or death, because that is a reality for many people who live all around the world. And so how can we pray for ourselves whenever we face persecution, and how can we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who right now are going through persecution? So I find three things in this passage. The first thing you find is this. We should pray that we would speak God's truth boldly. Pray that we would speak God's truth boldly. Look at verse 29, the prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. That was the differentiating factor when you look back in Acts chapter 4 as to how the leaders knew that these two guys, Peter and John, had been with Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus. These guys were uneducated. These guys weren't trained at the seminary of the day, so to speak. These guys were just common labor guys, but these guys, they were bold. They spoke truth. And because of that, when they perceived that, the realization is they had to have been with Jesus. Could that be said of you? That when you boldly speak, that people say, he must know something I don't know. She must know someone I don't know. This person must really know God in a different way than I understand God. We speak God's truth boldly. This is what Paul asks the church at Ephesus to pray for him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is saying, pray for me that I will speak boldly. Pray for me that I will take a stand. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, that I will speak truth. I will speak it in a loving way, but I will speak it in an unapologetic way. Now, that does not mean being a jerk. It just means speaking the truth absolutely boldly. Many times we don't want that. We don't want Jesus, to make us bold, because we want our lives to be safe places. There's nothing wrong with wanting certain things to be safe. We want safety for our kids, we want safety for our grandkids, we want safety for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with a good, healthy idea of safety. But oftentimes, if we're not careful in the Christian walk, we go from safety and we cross a line. It's a fine line. We cross from wanting our lives to be safe places to wanting to live our lives without having to depend upon faith. We want our lives to be safe, and so often when we say safe, what we mean is, I want to remove all of the obstacles, I want to remove all of the uncertainty, and I want to live my life in a predictable way where I don't have to live by faith. Well, when you live boldly, and when you speak boldly, you have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. Live by faith. We operate by faith. And Christ will do that. We can be bold in the person of Christ. So often we don't want that. We don't want that type of boldness. We want just enough Jesus to keep us from being damned, but we don't want enough Jesus to make us dangerous. We want to just have enough to just get us past the line, but we don't want to go out and live boldly for him. This was the prayer, though, that you find among the apostles. Make us bold. Grant us boldness, God. Boldness that comes from you. You grant us that. So we are to speak the word, God's truth boldly. We are to see God's power clearly. That's another thing they prayed for. Look at verse 30. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're praying that their message would be authenticated with miracles. That their message would be authenticated by the power of God himself that comes in the name of Jesus. I don't think we realize what degree of power that is accessible to us. You find also in Ephesians, we mentioned Ephesians earlier, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul prays that the church at Ephesus would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and over every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. Paul prays that they would know that the very power that is operating in them by the power of the Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places at his rightful place on the throne. That is the power that is accessible to us. Do your prayers reflect that kind of power when you pray? When you're in the midst of persecution, you're in the midst of difficulty? Do your prayers reflect that that is the power accessible? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I remember memorizing it in the New King James Version, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. ESV is slightly different, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are just fragile, fragile jars of clay. We are dispensable, we are replaceable. But we have an immeasurable power that is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have that power that's residing in us. Not that we ourselves are anything, but God in us operates with an incredible power, a power that we sometimes fail to recognize. You find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Everything that you need in order to live your life, everything that you need to operate in this world and go from day to day, God has already given you. If you are his child, he has given it to you already in this person of and the work of Jesus Christ. You already have that power. It's just you don't access it. There are many times I don't access it. And sometimes we fail to access it because we fail to recognize the power that is available to us. The ultimate power is only found in Christ. We are enamored by power. We are in love with power. We are absolutely enthralled with it. We are intrigued by it. Power is one of those things that everybody seems to run after. But let me give you a word. If you were to take all the power that's found on Capitol Hill, and you were to take all the power that's found in Silicon Valley, and you were to take all the power of Wall Street, and you were to take all the power on number 10 Downing Street, and you were to take all the power of every president, of every king, of every queen, of every emperor, of every empress, of every sultan, of every emir that has ever lived, and combine them all together, you would still not come close to the amount of power accessible to one of God's children who has the ear of his heavenly Father. You won't. You never will. No amount of earthly power all combined can come close to the power that is accessible to a child of God through prayer and by means of Jesus Christ. There's just no way. Do you pray that way? Do you pray with power? Do you pray believing? Do you pray in faith? In the midst of persecution, do you pray? Do you pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering persecution because of their faith? And do you pray recognizing that your prayer has power? I remember a story that I read when I was a kid. It was a story about a group of missionaries. And this group of missionaries, they were out in the desert regions of the Middle East, and they were going along, and they had an incident where some bandits came, and these bandits came to rob them. And they had kind of arrived on the scene, and these missionaries did not know that these guys were out there. These armed men were out there in the darkness. At the same time, here in America, at those missionaries' home church, there were a group of people, and one of them said, "I just really sense we need to pray for that missionary couple." And so they gathered up and they prayed that God would protect them, that God would shield them, that God would be with them. And it was sometime later, no attack came on that missionary family. And it was a few days later that some of these bandits were arrested. And somehow it came down to the bandits said, "We were planning on robbing these missionaries. We were planning on taking them captive and imprisoning them and who knows what else they wanted to do to them." And they said, "The only thing that stopped us were all of the armed guards that were around them there in the middle of the night. We don't know where they were, who they were, we don't know where they came from, but all we know is there was a bunch of really big guys surrounding these missionaries while the missionaries slept there in their tent, and we just thought it best not to even tangle with them." Missionaries didn't have anybody hired. It was just them. But however God worked to allow these bandits to see this angelic band surrounding these missionaries, that's how God worked. Now, I know some people say, "Oh, that's just a story. That's just a made-up story." Well, these missionaries say it happened. And these bandits evidently were pretty clear that there was something going on there. We don't understand the power that is accessible if we would just pray. God has infinite resources at his disposal. And if we pray in his will, God answers. So we should pray that we would speak God's truth boldly. We should pray that we would see God's power clearly. And we should pray that we would spread God's kingdom faithfully. Look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." You find throughout the book of Acts, you find that when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, there is one definitive response, and that is every time they are filled with the Spirit, they are bold in their witness for Christ. They spread God's kingdom faithfully. What would you do? What would you do if we had a prayer time and we were meeting and the place was shaken? That kind of power, that God heard their prayer and he answered. And he gave them boldness to speak truth. By the way, we are having a special time of prayer. I know every Sunday night we have a prayer time. Tonight we're going to have a special house of prayer. I invite you to come. And no one's going to call on you individually to pray or anything like that. But we're going to have about 5 different specific times of prayer for things coming up in the life of the church and for things coming up just in America as a whole. And I would ask you, if you would, if you can, be here tonight at 5 o'clock. And we're going to pray for those 5 things. We'll be done in an hour. And you can go on and spend some time with your family. But if you could, come tonight, because we're going to come together as a church and pray for 5 specific things. And one of those things is we're going to pray that God, his kingdom is spread and that we are faithful in that. But you find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, Listen to what Jesus says. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds in the air come and make nests in its branches." This is Jesus talking about how the kingdom of God spreads and it moves and it permeates the culture. We too are to do that. That's exactly what they did. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spread the word of God. They spoke the word of God with boldness. What would it look like in our community if, when we left here and we went back to our schools and we went back to our places of business and we went back to our homes, that we were bold in sharing the word of God? What would that look like to our community? What would that look like to Brookhaven? What would that look like to Lincoln County if we left here and we were just bold in speaking the word of God? And again, not that we're being crude, not that we're being harsh or brusque, but that we would just speak the word of God in truth and in love to those who desperately need it. We should pray that we would spread the word of God, spread God's truth, spread his message faithfully. There's an interesting thing that happens in the book of Acts, though. And sometimes it gets buried. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before he leaves, Jesus, before he returns to heaven, he gives them a little preview of what is to come. And he says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's what he says is going to happen. You're going to be my witnesses. Literally, that word, you're going to be my martyrs. That's what he says. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what happens? Well, Jesus gives that command in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then a couple of verses later, they all say, "Hey, everybody, let's go. Let's go spread this message." No, that's not what happens. In fact, they just hang out. They just stay there in Jerusalem. They may leave Jerusalem for a time. They come back to Jerusalem. And over again, that's what you find. Until you get down to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, Saul, who later becomes Paul, Saul was persecuting the church. And you find in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it picks up just after the execution of Stephen, the first martyr, the first Christian martyr who gave his life for his beliefs. And Saul approved of his execution. That's Acts 1. And then it says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Do you see what happened? It wasn't until persecution came that they actually went out and were spread out, spreading God's kingdom. It took the persecution to move them out. It took the persecution for them to be scattered, and as they went, they spread the word of God. They spoke God's truth boldly. They saw God's power clearly, and they spread God's kingdom faithfully. Can the same be said for us? Now, we don't live in a society where we are right now persecuted. Now, I realize there are conservative voices that are silenced on different social media platforms, and I realize that Christians are made fun of by Hollywood and also by some of the political elite. And I realize that you have all of that. But it's definitely a step toward. Definitely a step toward. But it's not nearly what it could be, and it's not nearly what many of our brothers and sisters around the world are facing. So in the face of that, what do? We're bold in speaking his word. We cry out for God's power in the midst of persecution and for our brothers and sisters who are encountering persecution. And then we must remain faithful to spread the message, regardless of the environment, regardless of where we find ourselves, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the persecution, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the emotions, we must be faithful. So I pray that for us, not only as a church here, I pray that for the church in America, and I pray that for our brothers and sisters around the world in churches where this Lord's Day they are hiding out in basements They are in rundown warehouses. They are outside of town. Some places they're meeting in the woods, and they are meeting, and they are doing just what we're doing today, but they're doing it with a completely different set of circumstances. May we never, ever, ever take for granted what we have. And may we be prepared in case the day comes where we don't have it. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, and as we come before you, we recognize that we have brothers and sisters around the world that even in the last few months, many of those who follow you have given their lives simply because they follow you. No other reason. They weren't a physical danger to other people. They had committed no high moral crime or anything like that. They just loved you. And for that, they gave their lives and they paid the ultimate cost. And Father, I pray right now for the men, the women, the children around this world who today are not able to worship freely. I pray, Lord God, that you would grant them boldness to speak your truth. Father, I pray in the midst of their darkest times that you would show up in power. And your power would be clearly seen, not only by them, but by those who would persecute them. And Father, I pray that we and they would continue to be faithful to spread your message, your gospel, the hope that is found only in Christ. And Father, there may be people here today, here in this room, listening online, and they may say, I don't know if I want to follow this Jesus if persecution could be the result. Father, that's the price. We have to be willing to lay everything down, including our lives. That is the only thing worth laying our eternity down upon, and that is your word, your truth, and the hope that is found in Christ. Nothing else matters. Nothing else can come close in importance or in value. So, Father, if someone has not made that decision, I pray that they would count the cost. That to say yes to Christ is to say no to everything else. And to say yes to Christ is to make a decision to be willing to lose everything else in order to gain you. It's a high cost. But the cost of not following you is far greater. Far, far greater, Lord God. You sent your Son to live a sinless life and to die a death in our place so that if we trust in his sacrifice as a substitute for us, we will never face your wrath and we can enjoy unending fellowship with you and be used by you to further your kingdom here on earth. Father, I pray if someone has not made that decision, I pray today would be the day they would weigh that cost. They would understand the great seriousness of that decision. And I pray you would grant them boldness to make a decision for you. Father, we give ourselves to you now. We pray that this week we would go out and we would do just those things, that we would speak your word with complete boldness, that we would be filled with your Spirit and we would live by your power, and that we would be faithful to spread that message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. If there's any decision you need to make, any prayer you need to pray, if you want to come forward and pray or ask one of us to pray for you, if you'd like to know more about how you can join the church or be baptized like Sophie was this morning, or how you can make a decision to follow Christ, we would love to talk with you about that. You respond to God in this time as he leads.